thanks again for joining us for Church of the Highlands Online. We welcome every single one of you. If you're a part of our church family, or maybe you're joining for the very first time, I know that we love you. We are, I think this is our 12th week that we are having online services. And honestly, I'm not getting used to it. I can't hardly wait to get back together in person. There's nothing like it. We're making our plans. Stay tuned. We'll announce those to you as they're even changing on a day-to-day basis because of the way the world around us is changing. And speaking of that, I have to start the message off today just by recognizing that it has been an incredibly tough season for our nation. Not only the coronavirus, which has tensions at their highest, but of course the racial injustices that we're experiencing. On Monday, once again, an unarmed black man died needlessly as a police officer knelt on George Floyd's neck. And I know with each new incident, with this one, Ahmaud Arbery, I think of Tatiana Jefferson. I just want to say to you guys, I understand that the outrage is understandable. It's frustrating. It's so very wrong. It's disgraceful. In fact, it's disgraceful that racism, injustice, bigotry, prejudice still even exists at all. I want you to know that I believe it makes God angry and it makes us angry too. And I know we need to do something. We need to pray. We need to be the church. But Proverbs 31 says to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Ensure justice for those who are being crushed. Think of that verse. Speak up for the poor and the helpless and see that they get justice. And I know our nation needs healing. It needs change. There's many things that need to take place beyond just prayer. I think prayer is probably the most important. Personally, I believe that. But I recognize a lot needs to be done. But as the Bible teaches, as Jesus teaches, as Dr. King taught so beautifully, that hatred cannot drive out hatred. Violence doesn't heal violence. It's okay to be angry about an unfair system, injustices. But Romans 12, 21 says, don't be overcome by that evil. Overcome evil with good. And I recognize that we need to speak up. People have asked, "What is Highlands gonna say anything?" I feel like we have, but I will make sure today. If it has not been clear to you, I'm gonna make sure it's clear today. That racism, bigotry, prejudice are real. They exist. And they are of the devil. White supremacy, or any supremacy other than the supremacy of Christ, is of the devil. And some I know have even brought our church or even me into question. They're wondering, where do you really stand? I think some saw something on social media that questioned my character. And I'll own it, by the way. But that is not what I believe. And it is not what we teach. And I understand how this has made you feel, and I apologize. Honestly, it's understandable to me. I don't take it personally. I know people are hurting right now, and they want clarity. And I would love for you to not just look at a microscopic zoom in, but look at the totality of 37 years of ministry and 19 years as a church. And I think if you looked at that, it would be abundantly clear that we value every person. So let me just say this to you. For every person who has been marginalized, rejected, belittled, or abused, or even afraid because of how God made you, Tammy and I, the Church of the Highlands family, stand with you. We will never stop fighting for liberty and justice for all. I love you. I'm sorry for the way you feel. I beg for us to come together in unity under the name of Jesus. And I really believe that God will heal our land. And if you'd like to see that statement again with prayer, we had an amazing prayer service yesterday. You can go on our website, look at the Saturday prayer. It's about a 40-minute prayer service. I think it'll bless you if you were a part of that. But I just want to take a few minutes. I don't really want to speak long today because I think it clouds some of the things that I just said, and I really, really want that to stand on its own. But today we are celebrating Pentecost. And if you don't know what that means, I'll explain it to you in just a moment. But Pentecost is a Jewish holiday that Jewish people celebrate for one reason, to celebrate the giving of the Ten Commandments. And so they were asked every year to come together as in a pilgrimage and to celebrate the giving of the Ten Commandments. And the Bible says that in the New Testament, when the day of Pentecost came, so Pentecost is, by the way, it's not a religion. Somebody say, are you Pentecostal? Well, that's really, it's not a religion. It's not a denomination. It's a day. In fact, Penta means 50. The Pentecost means 50. It's just 50 days after Easter or Passover. That's all it means. But when the day of Pentecost came, where they were celebrating the giving of the law of God, of course, the Holy Spirit was poured out on this early church. And there are some similarities and some distinctions between the original Pentecost and this New Testament Pentecost. In the original Pentecost, a cloud descended on Mount Sinai, and there was a loud sound and fire, and God wrote his law on tablets of stone that Moses would carry down Mount Sinai. But on this New Testament Pentecost, on the day where they were celebrating that, and the Holy Spirit was poured out, notice the similarity with me, that the Holy Spirit descended with a loud sound and fire again, but God wrote his law on our hearts. If you really want to know the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, the principles are the same, but the difference is one is external and one is internal. And God knew that he needed more than just having rules and regulations. He needed to change hearts. And even in this season that we're in, I'm asking God, oh God, change, start with me. Change my heart. Holy Spirit, I have prayed this all week. God, Holy Spirit, descend upon me and change my heart, change my life. And it goes on to say in Acts chapter 2 that when the Holy Spirit was poured out, they were both amazed and perplexed. And they asked one another the question that I hope to answer for us today. What does the outpouring of the Holy Spirit mean? What does the day of Pentecost really mean? And I'm gonna tell you what it means. It means that without God changing hearts, without there being an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on our land, probably nothing's gonna change. We need more than, we need rules. I'm not saying we don't. We need reform in every way. I agree with that. But those things don't change the heart. Only God can. And I'm asking God on this Pentecost Sunday, beginning with me, that there'd be a changing of hearts. And so here's how I want to teach it today, because Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit a lot. In fact, the Gospel of John records the longest conversation that Jesus ever had about the Holy Spirit. He was literally one day from giving his life on the cross, really ready to go to heaven and leave the work of the church on the earth. And you know the story. He brought his disciples into the upper room, to this room where they gathered together, and he washed their feet. You can read that in John chapter 13. And then they would have the Last Supper, or the Lord's Supper, which they were celebrating, and we celebrate today in the form of communion. But only the Gospel of John records the conversation at that communion table. John 14, 15, and 16. And the whole conversation was, I'm gonna leave you and I'm gonna send the Holy Spirit. And five times Jesus said, here's what he will do. If you will embrace him, invite him, welcome him. So many people are actually afraid of the Holy Spirit. They understand God the Father, Jesus the Son, but they really don't understand much about the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, church, we have to embrace the Holy Spirit, not only in our lives, but in our nation right now. I'm telling you. And Jesus said, five things will happen if we'll invite the Holy Spirit. I've entitled this message today, Come Holy Spirit, first in me. And then I'm saying, Come Holy Spirit in America, at Highlands, and around the world. Let me give you these five. In John 14, the very first, Jesus said, I'm gonna pray and the Father will give you another. And this is the name that Jesus used the most to describe the Holy Spirit. In fact, if you go look in other translations, this name changes a lot. because it means many things. Some places you'll see it says advocate. Some places it says friend. But the bottom line is he's a comforter. That he will abide with you. So, oh my goodness, God's in heaven. Jesus is in heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father. But guess what? The third person of the Trinity is not in heaven. He's here with me and you. And this is the prayer. All five of these, if you're taking notes today, come in the form of a prayer. Holy Spirit, comfort me. I know there's a lot of healing that needs to take place right now. And that healing needs to take place, hopefully, by the things that we say to each other. I hope what I said today brought healing. I really hope it did. But can I tell you, the Holy Spirit can heal you. The Holy Spirit can mend your heart in a great way. I believe it. Jesus said it this way, speaking of this Holy Spirit, he called it peace. I'm gonna leave you peace. I'll leave with you my peace. And it's not as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. I know that's a big statement in the culture we live in right now. And do not be afraid. Well, that's tough too. But guess what? If you'll say, Holy Spirit, comfort me. In fact, you could whisper those words right there where you are right now. Holy Spirit, comfort me. If I'm honest with you, I need comfort right now. I've had many sleepless nights this week just thinking about our nation, our church. I'm concerned about our church. I need the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I made 5 calls this week to people who have lost loved ones. And I'll tell you what I've told them. That as bad as you hurt right now, that the Holy Spirit is the God of all comfort, and he will comfort you in all your troubles. And here's what I say to them. I mean, people who've just lost loved ones, I'll say, look for it. Look for it. He's there. I promise you, he's there. Look for it. And can I say to you right now, with all the turmoil, with disease and violence and injustice, look for it. Look for it. The comforter is right there. Here's the second one. Jesus said in John 14, second thing he described what he would do, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send to you in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. I try to be a teacher. I try to explain things. I try to appeal to your minds. But guess what? That's not enough. We need the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, reveal truth to me. I've asked the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to me even in this situation. I've been on the phone with pastor friends of mine, African-American pastors, friends of mine. And I said, if I have a blind spot, tell me. If there's anything I've ever said or done that is offensive, I want to know. And I think it's a beautiful prayer to pray. And I think I encourage all of us, I don't care what your race or background or religion or color is, I need to grow. I need to learn. Holy Spirit, help me to learn. Of course, the best way that we are taught by the Holy Spirit is the book the Holy Spirit wrote, the Bible. You say, oh, Chris, man wrote the Bible. No, it didn't. Man held the pen, and the Holy Spirit inspired every word in Scripture. And the word of the Lord is powerful, alive, sharp. It's a two-edged sword that goes into the heart and soul of a very human Chris Hodges who's got flaws, okay? And says, Holy Spirit, show me anything in my life that needs to be cut out. Do surgery through the word of God in my soul and spirit. And it says it exposes our innermost thoughts. Wow. Think about just praying that prayer. Holy Spirit, teach me. Expose my thoughts. I need to know. Here's the third one. And that is that when the Holy Spirit, I'm just going through John 14, 15, and 16. 5 times Jesus said, I'm going to tell you, if you'll say, come Holy Spirit, he'll do 5 things inside of you. When he comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify. In other words, he will give you words to say to people that are far from God. That's what he'll do. He'll use you. In fact, that's what we pray. Holy Spirit, use me. Use me to bring healing to my neighbor. Use me, God, to as we go on outreach projects. Use me. I want to be an example. I want to be your mouthpiece. And again, I look into that camera and I speak to our nation and our world, members, non-members, believers, skeptics, those who love us, those who don't know what we are, that we love you. We love you with all of our heart. And I've asked God, God, use me to be a powerful witness. I want to represent you so well. Acts chapter 1 talks about it. You're going to receive power. If you'll invite the Holy Spirit, you'll get power. And it's going to come on you. Why? So you can have a good time in church? No. It's a wonderful feeling to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But the whole goal were souls, lives, to be witnesses in our own city, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, our world, our nation, and then the rest of the world. Holy Spirit, use me. Holy Spirit, use me. Here's the fourth one. And they said, Jesus said, and also when he comes, now we're in chapter 16, he will convict. So he'll comfort, he'll teach, he'll use you, testify, and he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. This is a good prayer to pray, because guess what? No, none of us get it right. I know you probably have strong opinions about what you believe. You may be right. But wouldn't it be a beautiful thing to say, Holy Spirit, point out anything in me that's not right. And I want to be right. I'd like to always get it right. I don't, but I say, Holy Spirit, okay, I got it. In fact, here's a verse I pray every day. You ought to jot this down. I love this verse. I know it by heart, so I pray it out loud every day in my prayer time when I'm asking God just to work inside of me. Search me. Know me. Test me. Even know my thoughts, even my anxious thoughts. Look at this line. I love it. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me in the path of everlasting life. Would you pray that right now? Holy Spirit, just convict me. If there's something in my life that offends you, guess what? When he convicts you, he never condemns you, never. When he points it out, he never says, well, you're just a mess. No. He goes, hey, this can change. This can change. That can change. And he does it with grace and mercy that we all need. Holy Spirit, show me, convict me. Don't condemn me. God doesn't condemn us. Even if you're completely wrong, can I tell you, God will never condemn you, but he will convict you. And we need to respond to that. And here's the last one. And that the Holy Spirit, when he comes, he will guide you. And it's beautiful. He'll comfort you, teach you, testify Jesus through you, convict you, and then this might be the most useful one yet. He'll guide you. I'm telling you, we all need a guide right now. We need someone saying, I think I'm supposed to go this way, but maybe I should go this way. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears and will tell you, look at this. He's going to tell you what is even to come. What a beautiful gift. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for sending the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, guide me. Can I encourage you to pray those five prayers? Holy Spirit, comfort me, teach me, testify Jesus through me, convict me, guide me. I need the guidance of the Holy Spirit, that whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, don't go that way. Go this way. Walk in it and watch what the Lord does. That's my message. I wanted to keep it short intentionally today. Here we are on Pentecost Sunday. We're in an important season as a nation and literally the world. The whole world is moaning and groaning and hurting. Holy Spirit, please come. I ask on this Pentecost Sunday for there to be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the earth. and let it begin with me. Comfort me. Teach me. Testify through me. Convict me and guide me. Thank you for what you're doing, Lord. I want everybody just to be real still in your home or wherever you are. And I believe the presence of God is where you are right now. He's with you. The Holy Spirit is with you. And for some of you, you like me are feeling the need to ask God to do a work on the inside of you. Can I encourage you to do that right now? And for some of you, you feel far from God. One of my favorite verses about salvation is in Ephesians 2, that the blood of Jesus came, watch this, to make the two one. Who are the two? God and you. I think when you're far from God, it feels far, that God feels a million miles away. And just like we're praying happens in our nation for there to be a reconciliation, that the two can be one, it has to happen first between you and God. The two becoming one. And that's salvation. It's the moment you say, Jesus, pay for my sins. I'll make you the Lord of my life. And guess what? The Lord, God is near. In that fast of a moment, you'll feel the nearness of God. If you're far from God, if you're not a Christian, maybe you are a Christian, but you've backslidden, or maybe you just turned your back on God, or maybe you just feel convicted today. You, like, Chris, I don't even know where I am. Fine. Call on the name of the Lord. I want to lead you in that prayer right now. Say, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross and paying for my sin. Today I receive what you did for me, and I surrender my life completely to you. Now say these words. Say, forgive me. Holy Spirit, come live inside of me. Give me the ability to live a brand new life. And with all of my heart, I'm going to serve you the best way I know how. Now make these confessions according to Romans. Just say, Jesus, be my Lord. I believe you died, were buried, and you rose again. And today, I put my faith in you. In your name I pray. Amen. If you just pray that prayer, you're born again. You're a completely brand new person. He didn't just forgive your sin. He canceled it. It's gone. Gone from the memory of God. He remembers them no more, the Bible says. And God's Spirit lives inside of you. You'll know it. He's prepared a place for you in heaven. And I just say to you, congratulations. If you prayed that prayer with me, I'd love to know. No one's going to call you. No one's going to come by your house. You're not going to get on any mailing list. I just want to make sure you have a resource that our church produced called What's Next. And I'll send this to you. I just want to send it to you. And it's going to give you your next steps because you have a spiritual journey. This wasn't the end. This was the beginning. God has some amazing things for you that are outlined in this book. It's very easy read. And if you'd allow me to send it to you, just text the word SAVED, S-A-V-E-D, to 74,000, 74,000, SAVED. If you'll do that, we'll get this out to you soon. And just read it a little bit at a time and follow it and watch what God does in your life. I'd love to put this in your hands. And I believe it'll bless your life in a great way. Also want to encourage those of you who call Highlands home to encourage you in your generosity. I hope you look across the state of Alabama, the nation, the world, and you're there in many places. And it's because you're so generous. We have tried to be as open-handed as we have ever been during this pandemic and through the crisis that our nation faces. And so your giving is making a difference around the world. God bless you. This is a first Sunday too. A chance to just, tomorrow is June 1st. We have an opportunity to honor God with the first of what God provides for us. And so I want to encourage you in your giving. They'll put on the screen the ways you can give. I do want to look into the camera and say, if you're from another church and you just happen to be watching this service, please support your own local church. They need you more than ever. It does not need to come here. It needs to go there, okay? Because your church needs you. Our church takes care of Church of the Highlands, and they do it very, very well. So let me please encourage you to do that if you're watching from another church. God bless you. And Father, I pray for a blessing over this offering and everything we give as we honor you with our tithe and our offerings. And as we really invest into people's lives and into our local church to make a difference in people's lives, God, we're asking you to use it. And Lord, I pray over the month of June for supernatural blessing. I pray over the month of June for supernatural blessing. That God, you said you would bless us so that we can be a blessing. And we pray that today in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, before we go today, we'd love to connect with you. If you want to connect in any way, you can type the word connect to 74,000. If you need prayer, type the word prayer to 74,000. We just want to serve you in any way that we can. And before we go today, I just want to speak this blessing over you. And then we're going to just sing the name of Jesus. We sang this yesterday in our prayer service that there's some big names out there that bring fear and terror to people's lives and hearts. Racism, prejudice, bigotry, hatred, violence. These are terrifying names, but there is one name that holds weight above them all. And that's the name of Jesus. And we're going to sing about it before we go. Lord, bless your people. Bring peace to their lives. Comfort in every way. God, let us walk in wisdom as we bring the solution, the hope to the world that is so broken. Thank you for what you've done in our hearts and lives today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Sing along with this song with us today.
One name holds weight above them all, and his fame outlasts the earth he formed. His praise resounds beyond the stars and echoes in our hearts. The greatest one of all. His face shines brighter than the sun, and his grace
Church, we love you. We hope you have the best week ever, and we'll see you soon.